This is Commercial Real Estate School, featuring real-world insight and expertise from some of the most successful commercial real estate professionals in the country. Here's your host, Kyle and Sarah.
All right, I got to talk to you guys about virtual assistants. The fact is, this show would not exist if it wasn't for my virtual assistants. And I know why a lot of you guys don't hire them. It's because they take a lot of training. You got to prepare a lot of documentation. You got to manage them in order to make them really, truly effective for your business. Digzy solves that problem. Digzy has a fully managed virtual assistant service where you don't have to train, manage, or monitor them at all. They do it all for you. And no matter what vertical you're in, Digzy's got you covered, starting at just $15 an hour. And you don't have to commit to a full-time. You can go part-time for 20 hours a week or full-time 40 hours a week if that's what you need. And when you hire Digzy for a virtual assistant for your business, you actually hire Digzy, the company. You get a dedicated in-house assistant that has those skills and training that you need. This way you can focus on doing what you're best at and let Digzy handle the rest. So you can grow and run your business and scale it and do everything else you want to do and allow them to fill in the gaps. Like I said, I have a Digzy virtual assistant and it's amazing and I highly recommend them. To learn more, go to www.getdigzy.com/products or call 866-MY-DIGZY. All will be in the show notes. Check them out. Digzy is the place to be for virtual assistants. Now, this I can appreciate because my wife is the queen of this. She loves to call people when she's cooking dinner.
Oh, I love
it. Talk to me about, is this just a way to like, I'm going to, you know, I can look at this a bunch of different ways, but it's like, hey, I'm calling you. I'm supposed to call you. We're related. Like, we're supposed to stay in touch, but I'm cooking, so this can't be that long. Like, what's your approach around this? Is this just a time management thing or just a way to kind of check boxes off of dealing with the
family? It is.
I respect both. Whatever it is, I respect both of them.
Yeah, no. It's when you're at home, you're relaxed a little bit. You're not in an office. You're not. So I kind of set up the calls for that time. And I love it because, you know, other friends of mine will be cooking at the same time. Mm. You know, we'll say, let's set up Wine Wednesdays. You cook a fish, I cook a fish. And then we're talking about cooking and catching up, you know, and it just goes sometimes 2-3 hours. And I'm like, that's when I can catch up with people.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, but especially with my mom, she's like, no, ponle esto, ponle sal.
What's your nationality?
Mexican.
Oh, so do you like to cook a lot, or what, does that come from your mom? Does she like to cook a lot? What's the vibe there?
She cooks. It's not her favorite thing.
Okay.
I've learned to cook from other families, mm-hmm. I would say. I dated into the Greek family. I did into the Spanish culture.
Mexican is like a culture that cooks. So your mom just wasn't one of them. Like Italian, okay, somebody must cook. But I also my family, not a lot of my grandmother was the one, and then after that, well, it's me. I'm the next one.
Okay, but the thing is, there were six of us. We grew up with a nanny and she was always cooking. And mind that we grew up vegetarian because one of our brothers was sick. So we couldn't eat a lot of meat. So we grew up a little bit vegetarian. So it was very different. We grew up with soy meat. We grew up with a lot of veggies. So it's very, very different. And then once you go to college, you eat junk food all day, every day. And then I moved to LA and it was so different. Like you go out a lot in the city, you know, you eat out a lot. And then afterwards, I just got into cooking. And for some reason, I love to cook. But I love fish. I love steak. I love all of the meats. But I mean, we'll get into different ethnics of food and we'll say, hey, let's, you know, try making this meal. And let's jump on a call. We'll send calendar invites.
Oh, wow.
We'll buy these meats and we'll make it together.
For a call. Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I respect that.
But it's like, we go back and forth through our text messages and we tell each other, you know, that did you order this? Did you make this? And I'm like, yeah. Or we'll do cheese boards or we'll, you know, and then those are the time to catch up. But with my mom, when it's with my mom, it's because my mom's teaching me how to make a certain plate that I've asked her to.
And where does your mom live?
Tucson, Arizona.
Okay. So not tremendously close. Yeah. Right. But not too far. That's interesting. I mean, I'm a big believer in that food is something that brings people together. It's kind of like you can bring a whole bunch of different people together who we would normally not think, right, that would be together. But if it's around some sort of food, like it's about that experience. So I get that. It even works over the phone, right? FaceTime. People can vibe over that when they're sharing that experience. That's a great idea. Should throw that around.
It does. And it's like, now I will always ask and I'll say, can you tell me, can we get on a FaceTime and you can teach me how to cook this, you know? And then it's like you learning how to cook these things. I mean, it's not the same thing as when you're doing it in person.
No.
But
still
learning. Yeah. And I'll still call people and I say, you're Italian. Teach me how to cook bolognese and teach me how to do it like this, or an Indian meal. And I will call my Indian friends and I'd be like, hey, how do you cook chicken masala? Because I'm not going to pick up the Trader Joe's one. Teach me how to.
Yes. And it's like, it's kind of like we were talking about before, like with the training in commercial real estate. Don't give me a recipe blog to read. Just show me how to do it and I'll be able to do it the next time.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think what's important about people always bash on like French cooking, but the French will teach you are techniques. So they're like, here's how you sear, here's how you braise, here's how you roast, here's how you saute. And then you can kind of do anything, right? You can do, once you figure that out, you can start now, okay, I want to do this with an Indian flavor, Italian flavor, a Greek flavor. So once you have the techniques down, the recipes are just kind of like, they're just there as a resource. So
my sister-in-law is French.
Oh, nice.
So when her parents came into town, I told her, I said, your mom is going to cook at my house. I will buy everything. But she has to teach me how to cook.
Yeah, record.
So everything. We had a French night. Yeah. And I've done that multiple times. I had one of my friends, you know, Indian. And I told her, I said, I will buy everything. We'll go grocery shopping. You just do it tonight. And I've invited friends over. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you how happy people are together.
Oh, yeah.
For a meal.
Oh, yeah.
In the backyard and I put a bench, you know, and everybody sits down. I had about 20 bottles of wine.
That's it. I mean, imagine that's a good idea for like a networking event, right? For brokers kind of thing. There's a place in the city here that does like, it's like a fun pasta. I think it's all around pasta, but it's like a very fun vibe. Like it's a party vibe. It's not like super instructional stuff. It's, but that's a cool networking idea. But I do think that when you're cooking for people, like you only really need to have like 3 or 4 solid recipes. And you're going to be a superstar like your whole life. Because, you know, like if you can show up with the bolognese sauce every time, you're like, oh, thank God that you brought it. Or, you know, you don't have to go too crazy. That's what I love about it. Yeah.
And one thing when you do that, invite different people that do not know each other. I've always made it a thing where I invite people that do not know each other, because the connection those nights that I've done this between the people, I mean, I've introduced people who are now together and I hope they're getting married, but I've introduced to people, but I always make it, it's not boring. I always make sure that I invite different people. It's not always the same people. Invite them over into your house. And I think they really do appreciate that, because here in LA, it's hard to find good people. Oh, so yeah. I think people really do appreciate them when I invite them to eat dinner and they have no idea what they're having. And they come and the food is great and they meet different people. They love that.
Yeah, and you're forced to have your guard down a little bit. Like you don't have to, you're not like, oh, I know this person.
Nobody knows.
I don't want to say
that. Nobody knows you are.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. And that's not always easy to do. So great idea. Thank you for checking out another episode of Commercial Real Estate School. If you found value in today's episode, there's one simple way that you can support us. Just share the episode with your friends, your family, colleagues who you think might benefit from it. We'd love to hear your thoughts too. Leave a comment, a review, your feedback over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you're checking us out, really helps us just improve the show and brings our community closer together. So until next time, let's keep learning and doing deals.